Hello and welcome to Spoilers Encouraged, the podcast where it's only one podcast, the podcast where we read bad
the
books.
35 podcasts.
All of the podcasts where we read all the bad books.
Okay, I'm so sorry. We can start again.
Right. Hello and welcome to Spoilers Encouraged, the podcast where we read bad books so you don't have to. I'm Eileen.
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Jess.
All right, so this week I am going to be telling you guys about the book The Slouch Witch by Helen Harper. And I did want to remind us that when we call it a bad book, we don't mean it's actually bad. I love this book. I've read it multiple times. I have recommended it to people. I've read everything by this author. It's so fun. But it is ridiculous. And I thought we could have a good conversation about it. But before we get started, I have my fuck, marry, kill game. Are we ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I need to put that card back in. It was your friend's grandmother. And that's not going to be a part of this. All right. Number one is Megan Fox. Number two is your close friend's sibling.
I've been trying to get you guys to sleep.
And number three is Scooby-Doo. That's true. You've been trying.
It feels like you guys better say my brother.
You're all going to off my brother because I've been telling you to date him. It was Scooby-Doo and Megan Fox? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, do we have... I guess I have to kill Scooby because I can't sleep with Scooby. And I feel bad if I killed one of your siblings.
This is the conundrum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like that's where I'm leaning, but it feels bad to say that.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to kill Scooby. I'm going to fuck Megan Fox. And I'll marry one of your siblings, but like platonically.
Oh yeah. I was immediately like platonic.
Yeah. The marriage is platonic. The marriage is for show.
Tax purposes.
And then I, on my end, get exactly what I wanted, was just forcing you guys into my family with this game. I don't actually care if you date my brother.
We're at the holidays.
You guys can have very much a marriage of convenience.
It's a marriage of convenience, but it's not the marriage of convenience trope.
Right.
It's just the convenience.
Yeah, no, it's like straight up just. It's actually not even that convenient probably for you. I'm not sure what the convenience would be other than I'd be happy.
Did we tell you, Jess, last time he visited, he made a joke about Kayla setting him up with me just because I went to the Celtics game and Kayla's like, not that friend, but perhaps another friend.
Well, he was just joking. He's like, don't like tell him anything about him. I mean, I'm like, it's already a joke about me setting you up with my friends.
Yeah.
And all of them saying no.
Joke has been going on for years. So sorry to break it.
Well, you don't know this, but this is an inside joke amongst us.
Amazing. Should we do one more?
Sure.
Okay. That was Nicolas Cage, but we did him last time. Queen Elizabeth II. Mm. We're off to a good start.
Alive or dead?
Corpse.
Your choice. Mark Zuckerberg and Barack Obama. I feel like this is obvious. I'm going to kill the queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Respect my American and Irish ancestors. I am going to fuck Barack Obama and marry Mark Zuckerberg.
100%.
Yeah. I want the money.
I think that's the only way to go.
It's the only option.
I'm going to take Facebook down from the inside.
And you know what I love? It's like, he's not like a paparazzi dude. So like, we could have a low-key life.
That's true.
Yeah.
Even though, and be filthy rich. And to be, that's always been my dream.
He just like wants to destroy democracy and like do taekwondo.
Yeah.
Exactly. And like eat Sweet Baby Ray's.
Mark Zuckerberg's super into Sweet Baby Ray's.
Yeah. He got this like really, really expensive like backyard barbecue and does Sweet Baby Ray's with it.
That's very funny.
So my friend sent me this remix of him like saying, I love Sweet Baby Ray's. And they're like, it's again an alien pretending to be human.
It's what you should be doing if you're a billionaire. Like living your dream, doing what you like.
With Sweet Baby Ray's.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sweet Baby Ray's should use that in like a marketing campaign. Like you never get enough money that you don't want Sweet Baby Ray's.
Cheap, but doesn't have to be.
We are still the finest when you hit a billion.
All right, let's jump into some Slouch Witch. So like I said, I love this book, so I had to like cut a bunch out because I was like, I can't write down everything. So I cut out the opening scene where we meet everyone. So just to kind of set the stage, our main character, her name is Ivy. So her like main characteristic is that she's really lazy, and I identify with her so much. She's very lazy and very petty.
Honestly, I already love her.
Right? She's my favorite. The only thing that motivates her is like pettiness, essentially. But she is a taxi driver and she has like multiple times kicked someone out of her taxi for giving her a place that's too far away. She's like, that seems like a little too much effort. She's a witch and she lives in Oxford in England. And the way that being a witch in England works is there's this place that's called the Order that's like where they train, but also where they work. So, like, most witches train and work there. Ivy does not. She lives next door to a witch who does, though. So Eve is her next door neighbor. She has the apartment next to her. And Eve is one of those people that's like perfect at everything. Like she's super hot. She like works so hard. She's so smart, but also so nice. So like she and Ivy are buds. But Ivy's coming home from a day of taxi driving, and Eve's coming home from a run. And Eve is like, I finished work at 6 and I figured as long as it's early anyway, I should go for a second run. And Ivy's like, 6 is not early, first of all. And Ivy knows that Eve goes to work really early because one time Ivy accidentally stayed awake all night watching reality TV and saw Eve leave at 5:30. So she's like, I know you have a long day.
That's relatable.
Right?
I mean, it's never, I would never stay up that late, but like, I would
No,
get
but the rest of it, yeah.
oh, I've been there, done that.
I haven't done 5:30, but
Usually it's closer to like 4.
no. Oh, for me, but I mean, to be fair, 1 a.m. is like my 5 a.m. So Eve is planning a work trip. She's gonna go away for the order. She really wants to join like the Arcane branch, and that's the branch that does like investigations. They're the most like prestigious. And so she's like, cool, I'm sent on this trip. Can you watch my cat? Because witches all have a familiar and it's always a cat. So she's going to leave her cat and Ivy's going to take care of him.
It has to be a cat.
It's always a cat. So like when they're a kid, when their magic is just starting to like manifest, their familiar finds them.
Oh.
And Ivy, I know it's very cute. Ivy's familiar is named Brutus, and she has magic Brutus to be able to talk. Because when she was a teenager, she thought it would be a good way to make money to like get other people to talk to their pets. But then she realized what bitches cats are. And she's like, I don't think anyone wants to pay for this. So she never took it anywhere. But Brutus can talk. And he mostly just says like one or two words at a time. So she comes in and he just says food. And she's like, I have been working all day. Give me a minute. And he's like, food, bitch. And that's like his whole vibe. And he's my favorite. He calls everyone bitch. So she gives him food and he just keeps saying food and like smashes it on the ground and then till she gets him like the food he wants. So she goes to bed and then the next day she wakes up, her heat's broken. It's really cold. She doesn't want to get out of bed, but Brutus is being an asshole. So she gets out of bed to feed him and she's like, oh, I have to feed Eve's cat too. But it's really cold. So she's like, I don't want to actually get changed because I don't want to take off my pajamas. So she's like, I'll just put a bathrobe on. She had wellies by the door. She's like, it's the apartment next door. It's fine. So she puts on the bathrobe and the wellies and goes next door. And while she's there, there's a knock at the door and she looks through the peephole. And it's two guys from the Order. One is described as being really tall with like piercing blue eyes. That is Raphael. He's the other main character. And the other literally doesn't come back again after this scene, so we don't really care. I just wrote Red Cloak. I didn't even write his name.
Fuck that
Is Raphael, is that a love interest?
Yeah.
I love it.
What's his name, Raphael?
Raphael, yeah. Raphael Winter.
Ooh.
So as soon as she opens the door, Red Cloak is like, congratulations, Eve, because she's at Eve's apartment. He's like, you got a promotion. You're going to work at Arcane Branch with Raphael Winter. We're going to bind you to him for the next like 2 years so you guys can work together. And he does the binding before talking to her, like before letting her say something.
Oh no.
You think there'd be some checks and balances where they're like, I'm here, confirm you're cool with it.
Right? Which is what she said. She's like, she is traveling for you.
You should know.
Like, she's on a work trip. And she's like, also, she's a 6 foot tall brunette. And Ivy's like 5'4" with this like crazy blonde hair.
Is she on a work trip? She not on
She is, but it's not like official.
a work.
Yeah, she thinks it's official.
Got it.
But they were like, Eve lives alone and you are dressed like this. So we assumed, like, why else would you be dressed like this in someone else's house? And she's like, I'm not the one that fucked this up. I was here feeding the cat. But the parts of the binding that are important are that they need to stay within 5 miles of each other and they need to work together on whatever they're working on. And she's like, cool. That means Raphael is going to take a sabbatical because you guys are the ones that fucked this up. So I'm not changing my life. And Raphael's like, it's cool, we can break the binding. And Red Cloak is like, actually, we cannot because Raphael didn't want to work with anyone. So, like, the big boss of the order, he's called the Ipsissimus, which is like the most ridiculous word. And I really enjoy saying it. But the Ipsissimus had Red Cloak make this binding specifically unbreakable. And Raphael said he would only really work with Eve because she's the best of the best. But now he's stuck with Ivy. And Red Cloak goes back to like, the order to talk to Ipsissimus to see if there's a way to break it. And in the meantime, they go back to Ivy's apartment so she can get dressed. Also, just this is not important for the plot at all, but just to give you a little taste of Ivy's personality. When she was taking care of Harold, he was like chasing a mouse. And it's supposed to be like an easy kind of magic to deal with rodents. So she's like, I'm going to try this out. But then the mouse bites her and runs away. She's like, fuck it. I don't like official magic anyway.
No.
But she goes to get changed, and Raphael's like, you're obviously a shitty witch. You're not in the order, and you can't even do the rodent magic. The mouse bit you. And she's like, I did that on purpose. It was a bad omen, and now you're here, and that was what I was doing with it. She's my favorite. He also meets Brutus. Brutus comes in and just says, pet. And Raphael pets him, and he said, bitch. And Raphael's like, what the fuck?
Did all the familiars talk or just hers?
Just hers. She specifically magicked hers too, so he's never seen a talking cat.
Okay.
So he's like, what is happening here?
So she's got sub skills.
Yeah. So actually, you kind of learn over time that she's like super powerful and super smart. Raphael's theory by the end of the book, spoiler, is that she's got like lazy genius syndrome, where she was just never challenged. So she was like, fuck it, might as well not even try. But she actually is like quite smart. So this is why Raphael is like, what the fuck? This is crazy amount of magic, and this woman is a mess. And so they go to the order and they're walking around, and this woman comes up to them, and she's Ivy's age. Ivy's like 26, 27. And she's talking to them, and it becomes clear that she was a classmate of Ivy's and that Ivy did go to the school at least for a year. And after she leaves, Raphael's like, what happened? And Ivy loves drama. So she just said, I was expelled for cheating and assault, and just like does not expand on that. She's like, it is what it is. So they go to meet with the Ipsissimus and some of the other like big wigs. And she once again was like, you guys fucked this up. And if you can't break it, Raphael needs to like get an apartment in my building. I will accept you paying me instead of driving my taxi. And that is what I will do. And the Ipsissimus is like, no, you got expelled for assault. We never charged you for it. So you're going to do what we say, or we're going to charge you.
Okay, fair. I don't know the plot of the assault, but like that's kind of fair to
Kind of until you learn, he like she punched her ex-boyfriend in the face and like he deserved it.
I believe it.
Yeah. But she was like ready to fight back and be like, you know what? I'm going to call them on their bluff. Why would they charge me with this assault like 8 years later? But one of the other bigwigs was like, and honestly, it's not like you've been trained in magic. It's not like you can do much. So you can't hinder Raphael at all. You can probably just follow him around. And then once again, she's very motivated by pettiness. And she's like, I'm going to be the best fucking investigator these people have ever seen until they leave the meeting. And she's like, now I have regrets. It seemed like a good idea in the moment.
Now I have to do work.
Exactly. Yeah.
That honestly is relatable.
Very.
Right? She is like the most relatable. I love it. So Raphael goes to get her some like equipment and a witch robe and everything. And while she's outside, this guy Tarquin comes up to her, and Tarquin's the ex-boyfriend. And from their conversation, it becomes clear that Ivy didn't cheat. Tarquin cheated and said Ivy did. And when he did that, she punched him. But Tarquin's dad is really rich and like a big donor to the order. So no one really listened to Ivy when she said she didn't do it. So she's a little bitter about that, which is fair. So Raphael comes back. He doesn't hear this whole thing, so he doesn't know what's going on. But he also is not a huge fan of Tarquin because Tarquin's kind of a piece of shit. So he like dismisses Tarquin and drives Ivy home and is like, I will see you tomorrow at dawn. We're going to the gym. And she was like, fuck that. And he's like, no, we are. This is like a very physical job. And you need to do this, or there are consequences, as you know. And she's like, sure, I'll do that, like planning to not do it anyway. And he gives her like a stack of documents to review tomorrow. And she's like, yeah, that's a funny joke. She goes home and Brutus is like, ears. And she scratches his ears and he goes, stop, bitch. So that's Brutus being himself. So she calls her bestie, and there's like a million people in this book. So I'm trying to cut down on too many names. So I'm just calling him bestie. And bestie is like a perpetual PhD student. He always puts off working on his dissertation because he likes research with like no responsibility. So he's really smart, but just always does research. And she tells him about the binding and is like, can you find a way to break it? And he's like, I can try. But if I do, you need to go to karaoke with me. And she's like, sure.
That trade-off.
Mostly because she thinks he's not going to be able to, but whatever. So she goes to take care of Harold, but there's two people in Ivy's apartment when she gets there, or in Eve's apartment, sorry, when she gets there, and they end up in a fight. They like magically freeze Ivy, but she's able to get out of the freezing because. So there's like two kinds of magic you can do. You can do like runes with your hands, like in the moment. So like a wand, but with your hands. Or you can mix herbs up. And most people, when they're doing runes, need all their fingers. But Ivy one day was literally twiddling her thumbs and was like, I wonder if I could do magic moving literally nothing else. And she learned how to. So she was able to break the binding using her thumbs and surprise them. So she ties them up, gags them, searches them. And finds their IDs. One is named Matthew, one's named Alice. They're both with the Order. So she's like, this is weird that they're going through Eve's house. She also finds a bunch of Ziplocs of herbs on one of them. So she knows they're going to do something with them, but she doesn't know what because she didn't stay in school. So runes, she kind of like researches on her own, but the herbs, she doesn't really know. And she's like, if we call the cops, the Order handles any kind of like magical disputes. So they're going to hand them over to the Order. And I can't trust the order because they're with the order. So I'm going to leave them here with Harold. And she asks Harold to watch them. It is unclear how smart other familiars are. Like Brutus, they'll kind of hint at it. The rest of them just act like cats.
So she's just like, cat, watch that.
So she's just abandoning these people.
Cat, watch these people. I have hogtied in this woman's apartment. She's like, I'm sure this will be fine. Harold wouldn't let anything happen to them. So the next morning, Raphael comes to her house to wake her up because he knew she wasn't going to be at the gym. And she's like, right, but you didn't give me a chance to disappoint you. So this one's on you because you just assumed. And he was like, actually, that is a good point, but we do need to go. And she spends the whole time in the gym trying to figure out how to do as little as possible. So like she's doing runes on the weights to make them lighter, things like that. And Raphael can't tell most of the time, so she gets away with a lot of it. And then he's like, okay, we got to go to the library to study up on magic. And she's like, I am unfortunately illiterate, so that's not gonna work. And Raphael is like, I'll teach you the alphabet. And she's like, all right, fine, I'm not illiterate, let's learn something more exciting.
I should have really committed to
I was about to say, not a learn to read trope. Like we gotta get past that.
No. Oh no. She just didn't want to work. No, we saved the learn to read tropes for Willy Wonka.
One letter at a time.
Across the clothesline.
Only way to learn to read.
Exactly. You don't want to get too much too soon.
What are you gonna do with all those letters?
I know, there's so many letters. So while they're studying, he's like, you made Brutus talk. I've never seen magic that powerful. Like, how did you do that? And yet you still cheated. That's insane. And she's like, I am just very lazy, so don't underestimate that. And she's like, no one ever believed her about Tarquin, so she just stopped trying to say it. She just is like, I cheated, whatever. And while they're at the library, the scepter of the Ipsissimus, like his ceremonial scepter, is stolen. And the scepter itself isn't like worth much and doesn't do much, but the words around the scepter and around the library are like the most powerful words. So they're like, any witch that could do this is super powerful. So we need to know who it was because they could be really dangerous. So they go to investigate. They get in a fight about her involvement, and she's like, fuck it, then I won't even do anything. And that's when she learns how the binding works because she turns purple and gets a rash. And she's like, oh, I'm supposed to work with him. Yeah. So she like goes back and is like, I changed my mind. I am working with you. I did that of my own volition. And we're going to continue.
I loved being purple, but
Exactly. Well, no, because he kept going. And so he didn't see her be like purple with rash. So she's like,
oh
he doesn't need to know that this is something I'm
God.
being forced to do. So they keep fighting. They have a lot of banter. He tricks her into getting stuck in one of the wards because they're like testing out if they work. And he's like, cool. While you're stuck, I'm going to go investigate. And when she gets out, he's like, oh, great, you're here. Can you get me these herbs? But the herbs he lists are the same ones that Alice had at Eve's apartment. So she's like, what are these for? And it turns out they can do three things. So they can show you what happened in the past, like a shadow of the past, kind of like a security camera situation, which is what he wants them for. He wants to see who came to the scepter. They can show you some of the future, but only 12 minutes and it's really unreliable. So it's not like super valuable. Or they can track people, but that's also not very valuable because any powerful witch already has stuff to block that. So they couldn't be tracked anyway. And she's like, okay, so Raphael couldn't be tracked, but Eve could. Like, Eve's not super powerful yet. She's still a student, but she doesn't say that. She keeps that to herself. I know it's amazing. What she does say, she has this tendency throughout their whole investigation. Every time they talk to someone, she's like, he did it. He was wearing a yellow tie and like, you can't trust him. And like, he talked way too loud. This man did it. And so the first one she goes with is the Ipsissimus because she's like, Raphael's so uptight. It would be hilarious to like make him have to question this man. And so she's like, the Ipsissimus did it. And he's like, no, he did not. And she's like, he's a very powerful witch. And a really powerful witch had to have done this. It's his scepter. So he'd know how to do it. And if you don't interrogate him, it's just because you are biased. And Raphael was like, fuck it, fine. We'll go like interview him first thing in the morning. So she sets like a million alarms because she's like, I don't like waking up early, but this is going to be a shit show. And like, I want to be there for it. So they go.
Well, I'm sorry, Raphael should learn how to motivate her to get out of bed.
Exactly, right? It's not that hard.
Not that hard. Do something dumb.
Pettiness. Yeah.
Get a bit of drama going.
Yeah. I mean, this is how I motivate myself too. I need some kind of pettiness. It's the best way to do it.
I need the like seven alarms.
I don't need the seven alarms, but I do need a reason to leave. Like once I get out of the habit of going to the gym. I haven't been to the gym in like 2.5 weeks, and I'm its paw is finally getting better, so I probably could. But I do not.
I have at least 5 alarms every morning.
My sister does that. When she comes to visit me, it's like alarm after alarm after
Yeah,
alarm.
they go off like so much earlier than I need to get up.
That's it. She's like, because then it feels like a little treat. You get to go back to sleep.
It does. I still have a half hour instead of just, I don't know, sleeping that extra full
Then you
hour.
don't get to say, oh, I get to sleep an extra half hour.
Then it's not a little treat.
Exactly, it's the like
Yeah.
getting here.
Okay, moving on. So she goes to the interrogation with the Ipsissimus. And while they're going in, oh, I forgot to mention, also not important for the plot, but I loved this plot point. She wakes up with all her million of alarms, realizes she doesn't have any clean clothes, and it's still like her heat and hot water are broken. So she's like, you know what I could do? Is Raphael gave me witch robes. I could put them on over my pajamas and like no one will know. So she does that instead.
I love that.
But she, right? She's so relatable.
I feel like that's the big benefit of having those witch robes.
Yes.
She has no hot water though, so she's not showering.
You don't
No,
need to
she's
shower
good.
every day,
I give
Kayla.
up.
You could shower once every few days.
No. Yeah, this is just day two. This is day two. It's fine.
No, you have to shower. I took a cold ass shower yesterday because you have to shower
Do every
every day.
other. That's big shower
If you
talking.
wash your
Big shower
face,
once. You don't
yeah,
shower
big
every
shower.
day.
Big shower. You know what?
You're reading that propaganda.
I fully embrace big shower. I am part
You're
of big
like,
shower.
this woman has gone at least 24 hours without one. Disgusting.
Kayla sees the
Kinda.
clock ticking over your head. She sees the clock. It's like 3, 2, 1, 24 hours. You're gross.
Kayla's playing a game with herself to see how low she can keep it.
I took a shower right before this.
Take a mini shower every hour just in case.
You never know.
I would take multiple showers a day if I could. It's bad for you.
Is
Two,
true.
that's too many. One a day is the perfect. Two if you get really sweaty.
Never do. Usually one. If I'm very lazy, I'll do every other day. When I'm going to the gym, I'll go every day.
If I work out, I'll shower.
Well,
Yes.
good. I mean, that's like a not debatable.
You'd be surprised. For some people,
Some
I think
people
it might be.
Share my brother-in-law's business, but my sister told me that in front of him, he knows I know. He'll like work out for 2 hours at night and then just go to bed, like lay in
that
their
is
bed.
disgusting.
Yeah. No, in the sheets?
I'm also like
Oh,
not a
no.
clean freak, but that
No.
is disgusting.
No. That's too much for me, too.
How can he even go to sleep? Doesn't he just feel gross? Like,
How can you go to sleep like that? No, I don't know.
how do you sleep at night?
I, but like, it's a real question I have for
We'll
not even
interview him.
sarcastic. How does he sleep?
Texting her to ask? No.
How
Could you imagine?
does your husband sleep with himself?
I text him, "How do you sleep, Mike?" He's like, "I sleep okay."
So they go to interrogate Ipsissimus, and Raphael is impressed that she wore her robes because he doesn't notice the pajamas at first. So he's like, "Well done. I think you're ridiculous. So be as quiet as possible, and like I'll handle this." And so he starts turning purple and gets a rash, and she's like, "Ha! I know what that is." And the Ipsissimus is also like, "Yeah, you should probably like let her be involved because this is not great." He is pretty cool about them interrogating him. He's like, that's fair. But he was actually at like a soiree with the prime minister, so it was like a very good alibi.
Very fancy.
I know, right? Ivy is like, "I never actually believed it was you. I just thought this would be funny, and like I thought it would entertain me." And she's like, "What I think probably happened is if those are like the most powerful wards we have, the scepter is probably still at the library somewhere, just like not where it's normally kept." So they're like, "Okay, we should probably go back and look through the library." So that's what they do. They go and like scour the library, lots of banter, flirting, fighting. They find a tunnel in the basement under like a big pile of empty boxes, and it goes into like the sewer. And then in that tunnel, they see the scepter. So Raphael goes, but as soon as he picks up the scepter, this like huge mass of sewage like comes and like swipes them away.
Ew.
I know,
Ew.
gross, right?
Should go
I would
shower
shower
after
after
this.
that. This I would shower after for sure. For sure. So they almost die, but they do not. And then afterwards, Ivy's like, it is clear he is like a target now. Like they tried to track him. He's the one that investigates this shit. And she's like, "No one is allowed to try to kill him except me. And I don't like this." And so she tells him, "I need to yell at someone, and I can't yell at you because someone just tried to kill you." So she stomps over to HR because she's like, "I can yell at them. That's what they're there for." And like the receptionist at HR is super bitchy and is just like, "The head of HR is not here." And Ivy's like, "I will go to his office and wait for him." So she stomps over. Tarquin works in this department. So Tarquin is there talking to.
Was he in HR?
He works in HR.
Little loser.
I know, right? Yeah. And Ivy hears him talking to his current girlfriend. And he admits that he's the one that sent Eve away because he's in HR. He could like pull strings and like make a fake thing for her to go to because he knew that Raphael wanted her to work with him. So he thought if she was gone, he could work with Raphael and get the fuck out of HR and do something more interesting.
don't think so, douchebag.
And Ivy's like, perfect. I wanted someone to yell at, and you have given me the ideal opportunity. So she goes over to yell at him about it, but she was like, and look, I get sending her away because you're a piece of shit. And he's like, no one understands the pressure my dad puts on me. And she's like, but why would you send Matthew and Alice to go ransack her house and try to track her when you know she's gone? And he had no idea what she's talking about. So she's like, oh, I guess he didn't do that part. Okay. Raphael takes her home. In the car, he mentions he's kind of figured out that like Tarquin's her ex and that he's the one that really cheated. And she's like, oh, no one's ever believed me before. And he's like, they probably did, but his dad donated so much money, they probably just wouldn't admit it. And she decides, since he's the first person that ever believed this, she should trust him and show him that she has two people tied up in the apartment next to hers. She's like, as a gift for my trust, you may have this.
Security guard.
Yeah.
You're now involved in this insane thing.
You are welcome, sir. So they question them. And he sees the herbs. He figures out immediately what they were doing with them. Questioning them, they learn their boss is named Dial. And Dial sent them because he wants to spy on Raphael. And Raphael is like, that was a really fucked up thing for them to have said. So I agree. We can't call the police because they're going to send them to the order. And like, Dial's pretty high up. So if he's saying that, who knows? And Raphael said he can come sleep on her couch. And she's like, sure, my heat's broken. And he actually knows how to fix it, which is obviously very sweet and sexy. But
Oh
then
my God, then does she get a shower?
she's able to shower. Finally.
God.
I mean, she didn't need it, but
She needed
it's an
it.
now it's an
The
option.
main conflict of this book has been solved.
If I was covered in sewage, I would shower as well.
I forgot she had sewage. I forgot she had. I would take a cold shower if I was covered in
Oh,
sewage. Yes.
100%. I would hose myself down. So the next day, Ivy wakes up to Brutus like fucking with Raphael, like asking him to pet him and then like calling him bitch. And then Raphael's familiar arrives. Raphael like called her overnight and she's this like ridiculous fluff ball. And he said that she arrived when he was 10 and his dad is like manly man, military type. And he said he hated his dad. And he's like, what is the thing that would piss him off the most? So he named this cat Princess Parma Periwinkle. And he's like, now I'm stuck with it. And like, I don't care about pissing my dad off anymore, but like, it is what it is. So this is her name now. So they talk through the investigation and they realize the other possibility, you know, so one possibility is Raphael's the target. The other is, so they reset the wards on the library after the scepter was stolen because they were like, they weren't working. So maybe someone wanted something else. So Ivy's like, what is more valuable than the scepter if the scepter was this like red herring to get us to reset the wards? And he's like, the only thing that's like super valuable there, it's called the cipher manuscripts. And they have all the like oldest, most dangerous runes that we can't really trust people with. And they're like hidden there and people can't really go see them very often.
I love it's like, oh yeah, well, we have this one thing there that is really dangerous and everyone wants it and bad people might want it. Just forgot about that.
We just didn't even check on it. Ivy's like, why does this exist? Why did you not destroy it if it's too dangerous for people to see it?
We never know.
And he's like, some people
Exactly.
might need it.
You never
It's
know.
Why have they not gone to see where Eve is?
To what?
Is no one checking in on Eve?
Oh, I talked through it. I did not mention it, but Eve has called Ivy a couple times just to update her.
Okay, so like they know she's fine.
Okay. She's alive.
So Eve is fine, and once they realized that it was a fake trip, they sent more experienced witches out to help her with whatever situation she was in.
Okay.
So I wasn't sure when I was reading it. I was like, wait, was this a thing? And it's just to distract Eve, but she's fine.
Okay,
Yeah.
got it.
So they are gonna go check out the cipher manuscripts, and in the meantime, they call the order to ask someone to go question Dial to be like, why are you trying to attract me and like stealing scepters and shit? And while they're in the car, Bestie calls and he's like, listen, I found a loophole for the binding. It won't break it permanently, but it's like a temporary thing. And it's this like root of a tree that only grows in Mongolia. And he's like, you're welcome. When are we going for karaoke? And she's like, I'm not going to Mongolia. This did not fix a thing. You get no karaoke until you do. But it was on speaker. And obviously, like, Raphael's very cranky after this because he was like,
Oh.
yeah, he was like starting to like working with her. And they go to the library and they're like, we need everyone out. And she's like, cool. I will set a fire and then everyone will leave, like a little fire, magic fire in her hand. And so she goes to do that. And Raphael is like, he puts it out and he's like, Ivy, we are magical people who can make water. Like when there's a fire, everyone goes towards the fire. Like we all try to put it out. And she's like, I didn't think through that. Cool. But he was able to like make an announcement and be like, someone tried to set a fire in the library. Everyone, please like vacate the premises. We need to figure out what happened.
Psychotic.
And they find one volume missing from the ciphers. And it's the one with runes for power and authority over other people.
Not a bad one to pick.
I know, right?
We know it just would choose.
I also, because this book is not as ridiculous as some of our others, did look up some would you rathers if we need a little interlude.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Sure.
Would you rather have steam come out of your ears like a train every time you're mad, or bark like a dog every time you're excited?
Bark like a dog. Bark like a dog.
Want the steam.
I would go bark like a dog.
What? I think the steam would be so funny.
Here's my reasoning. I'm mad all the time, and I get excited so little
I am easily
by barking
excitable.
like a dog. I
I would lose my voice so often. I think it'd be so funny if every time I got mad, just pure steam.
Steam, that would be funny.
Yeah, it would be very
I
funny.
could never have my video on in any work call.
It's
I like have a hard enough time controlling my facial expressions as it is. Yeah.
true. Everyone would definitely know when I was pissed off. I don't think I can hide my emotions as it is, though, so like let's just make it amusing at least.
The other one is, would you rather fight 500 ostriches or one T-Rex?
One T-Rex. Ostriches are insane, man. Have you seen those videos of them? Birds are crazy.
Do I have to beat it or escape it?
Beat it.
It just says, would you rather fight it?
You have to fight it. I guess you could lose in both.
Was it, can I run away?
I feel like if you lose the T-Rex, though, it's faster.
That's true. It's like one shot.
Like the ostriches are gonna like peck you to
Trample
death.
you and then peck you and then bite you. It'll be a long death. The T-Rex, I'm out
Yeah.
very quickly.
That's true. It's like once it gets you.
Yeah.
Because, like, let's be real, I'm not gonna win either fight. So.
Yeah.
If I just stand really still, can I win against the T-Rex?
You won't
He
see
doesn't
me.
see me. Maybe I'll become friends with the T-Rex. We'll go eat some goats together.
Are you gonna try to do like one of the monster romances?
There was. I did read the
The
dinosaur.
dino romance? The dino romance?
He can just eat my one arm.
Just the
Just
one.
the one. I need the other one.
Don't get greedy. Just the one.
Just
Just the
the one. It's like the TikToks with the dogs. Gentle. Just
Gentle,
a
gentle. It's just a little appetizer.
bite. Just a bite.
Okay, so the Ipsissimus had sent people out to pick up Dial, but he is dead.
Ooh.
He has been stabbed.
Oh.
So they go to investigate. There's no cipher. He was stabbed with a kitchen knife. They did find a paper with numbers on it that were the coordinates for the library.
Ooh.
And so they were like, sketchy. Ivy tries to find herbs to see if he's tracking people, but she didn't find herbs, but she did find some of the root that can help with her binding.
Oh,
And she's like,
convenient.
I'm kind of having fun and like want to know where this goes. So she hides it because she's like, I want to know who the murderer is. So
Got it.
that, and she's liking Raphael, so she hides her the root. While they're investigating, she realizes Raphael does not like Dial all that much, and he's like, yeah, I always got the feeling he was like promoting witches who were not all that talented, because then they would like owe him favors. And he's like, it's a horrible thing to say, especially now that he's dead, but because he was like high up and you want to respect those people, but
Did he promote
he
Tarquin?
did not. But he promoted Tarquin's boss.
Ah, why do you think you can't talk shit about people when they're dead if they were shitty people?
I don't know.
Like, they were shitty people in life. I should still be able to say they're a shitty person in death.
That always like throws me off too.
Right? I have no respect for the dead.
Also, it's a free country. I'll talk shit on who I want.
Yeah, dead or alive, they sucked.
Dead or alive. Talking shit, dead or alive.
I will die on this hill. We should be able to talk shit at the funeral.
I think we should be able to talk shit like harder. Because at this point, there's like no possible redemption. They died a shitty person,
Yeah.
and that's it. They always were and always will be a shitty person.
It's good to have things we're passionate about.
Ours is talking shit about the dead.
Talking shit about the
Yeah.
dead. My main passion in life. What are your hobbies? Talking shit about dead people.
Reading obituaries to see what I can talk shit on next.
Planning which funerals to go to talk shit.
How I find my newest enemy, just reading the
Makes me feel like I've already won.
obits. Dude,
So, Alice and Matthew worked for Dial. They were all in the same department. So they're like, okay, we'll go to that department, check out what's going on. They do stop by and ask Alice and Matthew, but like they're shocked. They didn't know that was going to happen. So they go to the department, and it's this like huge hallway with this like really tall ceiling, like ridiculous. So Ivy takes off her shoes and does like the running sock slide situation. And Raphael's like, I've always wanted to do something like that, but never like would do it. And she's like, do it now. No one knows. But Raphael doesn't take his shoes off first, so he's like really bad at it. And the admin there is like, I've always wanted to do that. And Raphael did not realize the admin had seen them and was like, we are here to interrogate people. And the admin's like, okay. But Ivy kind of bonds with this guy, and this guy confides in her that he's like, oh, you know, Dial was very important to me because I thought I was a really good witch, but then he helped show me that I'm better at this. Like, I'm not really that good. And they realized, oh, he was not just promoting bad witches, he was keeping good witches down so that,
Oh,
like,
interesting.
yeah, so that he could stay in power.
Interesting.
So they go to interrogate people. And the first person I talk to is Bethany, the coffee girl, who obviously has all the gossip.
Obviously.
And yeah, Raphael's like, I don't know what she's going to know. She's not in the magic. And Ivy's like, coffee girl's got all the gossip.
She's like, ask about a dead person, ask about an alive person. This girl knows.
The shit on both of them.
Yeah. And so they learn from Bethany that Price, the head of HR, came looking for Dial the day before and was desperate. He was shouting for him. And she's like, but also it's weird here for a while. Like, people have gone missing from our department. And they were like, tell us more. And she's like, so Alice and Matthew, and they were like, we don't need to discuss that one. And she's like, there's another guy that went missing that is not tied up in Eve's apartment. And his name is Oscar. And he went missing the same day as Alex and Matthew.
Oh.
So,
And they like didn't do anything about it. They're just like,
yeah, they're like, he went missing.
missing.
Whatevs.
These
Yeah.
people are missing.
Yeah.
We're an investigation industry, but we're not going to look into any of this.
No, we'll just let it go. Just let it go.
They're respecting their privacy. They're allowed to go missing if they want to.
So they're like, let's go to HR because we can get Oscar's file and interrogate head of HR at the same time. So they go to HR and they're talking to the head. They're like, we need Oscar's file. He's like, Tarquin, go get it. And she's like, enjoying the fact that he's ordering Tarquin around. She's like, yeah, Tarquin, go get it. And he comes back and Oscar's file is missing. It had been checked out, but Raphael recognized who had signed it. And he's like, okay, we'll go talk to that guy after. They did ask Price where he was when Dial was murdered, and he gave them a very clear lie. He was like not even good at it. So they were like, okay, well, we'll circle back to that when we have more like information against you. So they're like, okay, we're gonna go see the person that signed out Oscar's file. And on the way there, they run into that woman that was Ivy's old classmate, and she's kind of bitchy. And she goes up to Ivy and like, she had been, they do these little duels, like wizard duels, but with runes. And she'd been doing that with her coworkers. So she comes up to Ivy and is like, do you want to duel me? Ildi, you're probably really bad now. You haven't been practicing. And Ivy's like, I don't know that Raphael would let me. Oh, shoot. And she's teasing her and she's like, oh, do not let Ivy off leash. And Raphael does not appreciate that. So he's like, Ivy's her own person. She can do what she wants. And she's like, great, we're going to duel. And Ivy's like, you were supposed to say no.
Like, I was purposely trying.
He's like, how was I supposed to know that? I was trying to let you make your own choices. So she goes to fight this woman, but she realizes it has drawn a crowd. And she's like, if I win against her, the rest of them are going to want to fight me then. That seems like a lot of work. And she's like, this woman's a shitty witch. She's gone to school with her. She knows she can win. But she's like, if I throw this fight.
Pettiness isn't overriding it, though.
No, she's like, she wants to investigate the murder and doesn't want to have to duel witches. So she's like, I'll let her win. And also because then she'd know in her heart that she did it. She's like, I'll know I could beat her. So after she loses really badly, Raphael is like, was that on purpose? And she's like, absolutely not. So they go to talk to the guy who they thought had signed out Oscar's file. He said he hadn't signed out Oscar's file, but he wasn't shocked it was signed out because Dial always complained about Oscar. He was like such a drunk. He was always late. He was always too loud. So they go to Oscar's house. Oscar is passed out drunk.
Oh.
It's covered in blood. So they were like, not a great start. They find a charred piece of paper that was the cipher. And so they're like, okay, we need to take him in for questioning. Ivy's like, I have my doubts because this slob of a person does not have the all-powerful runes for authority. This is not adding up. Raphael's like, look, I can wrap up here. You go just run through HR one more time, see if you can find Oscar's file. So she goes and she basically harasses Tarquin into letting her see the logbook again. And what she notices is the signature that Raphael had recognized was the same guy that had signed out the previous file. And so she's like, what happened is she thinks someone saw the indent and just copied it. And that was the way they forged the signature. And so she's like, someone else took this file. Do you guys not check who takes the files? And Tarquin's like, I don't know. But then as she's fighting with him, she realizes, why am I not turning purple with a rash? Raphael and I are not working together right now. So she goes back to kind of check up on what is happening. Raphael said they found the cipher in Oscar's desk. All good. He did it. And Ivy's like, I am an expert at taking the easy way out. And that's exactly what this feels like. Like, this is not right. This is all like too clean. But she's like, okay, well, I'll just go home for now and see what I can figure out. She goes home, feeds Brutus, talks to her bestie. She's like, Raphael smelled like this root. It's this temporary binding thing. That's not fair. I'm allowed to want out of this. He's not allowed to want out of this. So she's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go back to the order and I'm going to see if I can find Oscar's file and I'm going to do it myself. So she goes back to the order. She runs into this group of people. So it's like the bitchy receptionist from HR, the receptionist from the other department where they were like sliding across the floor, and Bethany, the coffee girl. And they already knew all about Oscar. And she takes this to be like another sign that it was too easy. She's like, if this gossip got out so quickly, someone wanted it out there.
They wanted it out.
Yeah. So she's like, I need to investigate HR. Her plan is to set a fire at the library. So everyone goes to the library. She's like, I have learned.
Girl loves a fire. She's like, the answer is fire, but it's the opposite.
Now I know which way to do it. I'll put it where you want them to go, not where you want them to leave.
Exactly. She like charms the librarian into doing it for her. The first he's like, no. And she's like, you're so good at this. You're so good. And you're going to be able to do this. So he does. And she goes to HR. And Raphael is already there investigating. And she's like, asshole, you left me behind. And he's like, this is getting really dangerous. People are dying. And you were very bad at that duel. And I couldn't tell if it was fake. And she's like, oh, yeah, no, it was fake. So we can continue on. So they are going through the HR office. They find Oscar's file taped to the bottom of Price's desk. So they're like, he did it. but this is very circumstantial. We need more evidence. So we're going to go follow him. They follow him to a wine bar. And this is the one time I do not identify with Ivy because she's like, what is this 1995? Who goes to a wine bar? And I was like, this sounds so fun.
We go to wine bars.
That's rude.
I want to go to a wine bar.
Who goes to wine bars? We do.
We do, but their stakeout is in the alley, and she's like, I don't want to stand here all night, so I'm gonna go sleep in the car and wake me up when something happens. But that's really a ruse because she brought her taxi. So her plan is to pretend to sleep until Price leaves the wine bar, then turn on the light, pick him up as a taxi, and interrogate him that way because this is taking too long. So that's what she did.
She's undercover.
Exactly. So that's what she did. I did not write all the details, but somehow Raphael catches up to them and they end up interrogating him. And he does admit to killing Dial.
What?
He said it was an accident. What happened is he found the cipher in his desk. He didn't steal it. He found it and he went to Dial because Dial's the one that promoted him. He knows he's useless. So he's like, I need Dial to back me up on this. The cipher's in my desk. What the fuck? And Dial's like, do not bring that to me because that's going to like go bad. So I don't want anything to do with it. And he just got so mad, he stabbed him and then framed Oscar because he knew Oscar's such a fucking mess.
Oh, HR really doesn't have control of their emotions. Not conflict resolution here.
Exactly. So they arrest him, but Raphael and Ivy believe him that he didn't steal the cipher because they're like, he folded immediately on murder. So, like, there's no reason for him to not admit to theft. So they're like, but who else could it be? And they're like, so why did we talk to Dial in the first place? And they remembered Bethany, the coffee girl, is the one that said Price came and was looking for Dial and was all worked up. And so they were like, interesting. But Bethany, the coffee girl, is not powerful enough to like do what needed to be done. But then she remembered she saw her with the two receptionists. And she's like, Bethany, the coffee girl isn't, but the three of them together probably are.
Oh, girl power.
Right? So they try each of their houses and find the three of them at one of their houses, like, celebrating. And so they're listening in, trying to wait for them to say something incriminating. And basically, they learn that the plan of these three is they knew they were better witches than Dial was giving them credit for. And they knew there were certain people that were corrupt within the order, and they were trying to be like vigilantes about it. But they were kind of just alluding to it. And Ivy, once again, is like, this is taking too long, and like busts in. She's like, congrats. I want to join you. Fuck the order. And let's take down Raphael while we're doing it. Fuck it. And they're like, no, he's actually good. But in doing that, they do end up incriminating themselves, and also they poison her. So she's like,
Oh,
well, at least we got that.
well.
But Raphael comes in and saves the day, and they're all arrested. I also didn't write all the details of things, but like Eve comes back, they get rid of the hostages, all of that.
Yada yada.
They release Alice and Matthew, and then they go to karaoke, and she invites Raphael to karaoke, and they end up hooking up. But then the next day, Ivy looks shocked, and Raphael gets in his head about it, and he's like, we were both pretty drunk. Does she regret this? And like, decides to try to give her an out,
Oh no.
but ends up just making it sound like he regrets it. So she goes to the bathroom, and Brutus comes in, and it's like once a book, Brutus has a very wordy sentence because throughout the book, all he says is like, bitch. And then at the end, he'll say something like really wordy. And so he eventually says what kind of boils down to like, Ivy's hard to read, but that is how it ends because there's the trilogy.
Okay. Do her and Raphael end up together forever?
Yeah.
Nice.
So book two, they kind of figure their shit out a little bit.
Princess and Brutus, do they get together?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't remember if she gets with Brutus or Harold.
A
She's kind of flirting with both in this book.
little love triangle. Ooh, slutty little
Yeah.
Brutus. Is there a spin-off that's just about Brutus?
No, but Brutus is my favorite. As far as our three questions, was it good? Yes. I love this book. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend just going for book two again. If you guys know the plot of book one, just jump into book two. It's great.
Jump into two.
Yeah, spoilers. She ends up having to be a contestant on her favorite reality TV show to help investigate.
I love
It's so good. It's so good.
Amazing. What reality show would you want to be forced to be a contestant
Oh, that's
on?
a good question.
Am I taking the show seriously or do I know it's a job?
I don't think we're taking it seriously.
Okay.
Right? I feel like we're coming. I want to go on Vanderpump Rules and say everything. I think I want to have a sit down with Sheena.
I'm a recurring guest on Below Deck.
Ooh, that'd be fun to be like the charter guest.
I just started this new reality show on Peacock. I'm literally obsessed with it. I can't remember what it's called, but it's about they took European soccer players, and they brought them to the US to date these women, but they don't know who they are. So they have to say, like, oh, I'm a construction worker. Well, he didn't have to say he was a construction worker. They told him to be a contractor, and he turned himself into a construction worker. And then the girls are kind of like, I don't know if I'm into that. Like, they don't make a lot of money.
But then they're like, we actually play European soccer. We play like
And when the
European.
girls decide to leave, they tell them, by the way, I'm a soccer player and I'm rich.
Okay, but like in America, is that gonna hit the way they think it's gonna hit?
I mean, these, from what they showed, these are people who actually do have a lot of money because they all are
Sure.
like, oh,
Well, no, you can make a lot. I just didn't know if like an American girl on the show is gonna be like connect that.
yeah, like if someone said, by the way, I'm a soccer player, I'd be like, that's adorable.
It's really funny because one of them is getting like no attention from any of the girls. And it's like obviously like really hurting his ego because he's normally gets a shit ton of attention.
Yeah, because he's a famous soccer player with a lot of money. That
Yeah.
is kind of funny that, like,
No bitches for him.
no bitches. I just told Eileen that I learned my new favorite show is by the creators of Glee, and so much makes sense now.
What show?
911, the most insane cop firefighter
Why are
show.
you watching 911? I thought only like people above the age of 70 watch
We go to wine bars. We watch 911.
I'm going to wine bars. I'm watching my 911.
I'm reading the obits and I'm going.
I'll be there soon. I should ask my mother if she watches 911 because I bet she does, and then we can discuss it.
Don't they have like spin-offs of it too?
Yeah, there's a Lone Star. I haven't finished the original 911, so I haven't got to the
Is it
Texas
not on
one.
anymore? It was canceled?
Huh?
Was it canceled?
No, it's still on. I just haven't finished the. I just started. I'm binging through.
Oh, okay.
There's like 8 seasons, maybe more.
Is it literally just watching people with fake 911 calls?
Well, it's like you get into their lives. So it's like a fun SVU. There was like a 3 episode tsunami episode. Firefighters are more fun to follow than cops.
That's true.
So like all these
There's that too.
insane accidents are happening and they have to save everybody.
Wait, did we already do the three questions?
Oh, I did one and then got distracted. So was it good? Yes. Did I enjoy it? Yes. And would I recommend it? Yes. I love it.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Spoilers and Courage.
If you enjoyed our little book club, make sure to rate and subscribe so you never miss an episode filled with literary disasters. Find us on Instagram and TikTok at Spoilers Encouraged and Spoilers N, that's Spoilers EN on X.
If you have terrible books you want us to tackle next, email us at spoilersencouraged@gmail.com. Share your thoughts and book recommendations.
Until next time, keep reading and remember, a book being bad doesn't mean we won't love it.